We are beginning a new sermon series this week. It will go for 7 weeks. We're in the book of Ephesians. And so if you would look at the end of your outline, you should see each of the segments that are there that we will be talking about. It's really helpful if you could read that passage before the message. And so I tried to say that. I don't think I said it first. I said it second service. But if you would make sure that you would try to read ahead, that'll really better equip you to grasp the truth that is there. If it were possible, and if you had the time, if you read that every day, that would even be better. Because really, the more you read it, the more Scripture can saturate your mind, and the greater the Holy Spirit can open truth up to you. I have to tell you, the first time I read God's Word, and right after I got saved, I started reading. And as I was reading, I was like, wow, this is like exciting stuff. And I read through the New Testament. And as I read through it, I thought, wow, if I read this again, it won't be as exciting as it was the first time. And so then I started reading the second time, and I saw new things I'd never seen before. And I thought, that's amazing. That's amazing. So then I continued. And every time I would read through, I would find more new things. And then after I had read it many, many, many times, then here's what the Holy Spirit starts to do in my mind. He starts cross-referencing in my brain. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that, like, I would read something and I would go, oh, that's like this over here. And I would go over and find that. And I would go, wow. And then it was like even more exciting because God's word became more real to my life the more I read it and the more I understood it. So I'm challenging you in that same way. You will get so much more out of this sermon series if you'll do your homework. So it's not only just me working, but it's you working too. And so we're going to be talking all about our identification. And so as you read over it, think about, this morning we're going to talk about that, but think about what that looks like, what that means to understand who we are in Christ. That's like a whole different world that God wants to open up to your thoughts and help you to be able to gain that. This week we're talking about I am redeemed. The scripture says he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. If there's anything I could tell you that is really important that we would understand about God is that he showered his kindness on us. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of who God is and what he wants to do in our lives, and we start having some mistaken thoughts in regard to him. I'm hoping we can clear some of that up as we're walking through this so you can understand what a gracious and amazing God who would work in each of our lives. Each week as we walk through this, you're going to hear a testimony from someone within our fellowship. And this morning, you'll hear Dan Warnsberger.
My story starts when I was a child. Grew up going to church. My mom and dad, thankful for them and fortunate that they set the foundation, created that foundation for me and my brothers and sisters early on, going to church every Sunday. But as a child and even as I grew into my teen years, I went to church because I had to go to church. I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. God was very distant from me. I didn't know what it meant to be a follower of Christ. I just was going through the motions. I went to college, and like most college kids, I was there living the way I wanted to live, filling my own personal needs, doing a lot of exploring. And then all of a sudden, going into my fifth year in college, that summer, my world was turned upside down. A week before school started that semester, I was returning two-time All-American. I was returning two-time team captain, graduating within a year. And a week before classes began, I was arrested. I was facing three felony counts, distribution of marijuana, and I didn't know what to do. My world was literally turned upside down. I have never felt more empty or lost in my entire life. At that point, people that I had surrounded myself with, who I thought were my friends, were nowhere to be found. Fortunately for me, God was with me. God was overseeing the whole situation. We had two teammates that asked me, "Hey, what are you doing this Sunday? Do you want to come to church?" And I was like, "Yes." You know, it was a blessing for me to be offered that. That's when I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Throughout this process, I was told, sitting in the police station, that you're not going to be able to wrestle this year, and you might not be able to attend school this year. And I just remember just my heart sinking, and just thinking and saying, all I want to be able to do is compete this year. I gave my life over to Christ at that point, and I wanted to understand. I truly wanted to know what it meant to be a follower of Christ and to be a Christian. What did it look like? What did it mean? So I was all in. I attended church as many times as I possibly could. I went to as many Bible studies as I possibly could, and I prayed as much as I possibly could. But at the end of the day, I gave it to God. I gave it to Christ, and I said, "Your will be done." And a transformation took place in my life. And no matter what happened, it didn't really matter to me, because now I was seeing life from God's perspective instead of seeing life from my own perspective. The transformation had happened, and I gave it to God, and I was just patient. 6 weeks later, I'm sitting in a courtroom facing 3 felony counts, and they had told me that the 3 felonies would have to be reduced to misdemeanors for me to finish out my senior year and be a part of the wrestling program. Well, in that courtroom, for me, a miracle happened where those 3 felony counts were reduced to 2 misdemeanors, and on top of that, it was expunged from my record. And I was like, wow, you know, that was truly a blessing and a miracle. But leading up to that, it didn't really matter to me. It didn't really matter to me what people thought or what the outcome was going to be, because I knew God had his hand on my life and there was purpose for my life. And as long as I lived to glorify God on a daily basis, that was my mission. That's what I wanted to do. But fortunately for me, I got a second chance at life. And God's grace is unbelievable. His love is unbelievable. And I just wanted to give more to him. The story doesn't end there. I went into my senior year. A lot of highs and lows, ups and downs as a new Christian, just figuring things out. And I had a rough start to the season. To me, my identity was always found in wrestling, and it was always defined by wins and losses. But now it wasn't anymore. That was preseason ranked number 3 in the country. And by Christmas time, I was completely out of the rankings. Struggling, didn't place in my first tournament in my career. And I didn't know what was going on or what to do or where to turn. And I was at a Christmas tournament in Evanston, Illinois, and a gentleman named John Peterson, an Olympic gold medalist, came and sat beside me. He's a very solid believer. He just was talking to me about my faith. I just cried out to him basically and said, "What do I do here? I'm just really struggling with wrestling and competition, and people are asking me why, and I didn't really know how to answer them or what was going on." And his response to me was, "Well, it looks to me like you're just so worried about the win or the loss that you're not glorifying God." And he said, "Why don't you just try going out there and using the talent God blessed you with and glorify him in how you compete and how you act?" And that made a lot of sense to me. It hit home for me. My season turned around after that. I ended up having the best season of my career. I won the Big Ten championship that year and made the NCAA finals. Not that, you know, it's all gonna work out in your favor, but there's a lot of struggles, there's a lot of battles, there's a lot of ups and downs in the Christian faith. And the one thing I know from my story and my journey is that no matter what happens, I am victorious, and I can live a victorious life because I am redeemed through the blood of Christ.
Awesome testimony of faith of how God worked in his life. Dana came to Christ Wesleyan. Dan is a wrestling coach at Bucknell. And they are leading our college group of young adults, along with several others, young adults who are part of that. Dana came to Christ since they came to Christ Wesleyan, and Dan renewed his commitment as well. So it's been awesome to be able to see them work, God work in their lives and hear that. But that's the difference that comes when we are redeemed. And that is the difference in the transformation that comes in our lives as a result. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about Ephesians and what that looks like and how God wants to work in our lives. It's one of the prison letters. Paul wrote several of those. There's about four or five that came were called prison letters. He wrote those during those kinds of times of incarceration. So God used even his very challenging times to be able to help make that kind of a difference. Ephesians is a little different than some of the other letters that is written, and so it's kind of very instructional in its sense. And so we see quite a difference in that perspective as it's presented. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. So this is the letter Paul wrote as a result to Ephesus, but it was to be circulated around because of its significance. Paul writes a letter to God's holy people. And so that's how he says it in this point, I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus. And so we understand that he classifies them as holy. He also classifies them as faithful followers. Now, this is interesting that he classifies them both as holy and faithful followers, because when he is talking, we see that the part that is there, of course, the scripture says who are faithful followers of Christ, because he talks about a whole bunch of things that should have been basic in their understanding. And so I guess my takeaway in understanding that is that you can be holy because that's the work of God's Spirit in us. So it's not I am holy because I'm a great person or I'm wonderful. I'm holy because of God working in me. And so that's an important part. He calls us that we are saints. And you say, really? We don't have to call each other like Saint Arlie. That's not at all necessary. But Scripture tells us that we are saints. And that is the relationship that we have. Not because of what we have done or who we are, but because of who he is. And so that's the thing. He also calls them faithful followers. And so he calls them these holy people and faithful followers. So they're faithful to what they know. But he gives them a whole lot of information in this book, as we're going to see, as we're talking about it, about the importance of what's happened in their lives and what they need to keep focused on and what they need to continue to remember. Now, Paul writes a letter to remind them of God's blessings in their lives. And so as we would see this, we're going to see what that looks like. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, I think that's important because he's reminding them of God's provision for them. Do you notice what he says? He says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Paul is addressing Ephesus and the Ephesian Christians to say, hey guys, you're living way below where God's blessings rest. I want you to move up to realize what you have. And if there's anything that the American church should hear today, is that we are living way below where God has intended. He has so much more for us. And that's why as we walk through these passages and as we try to think about these, we're going to grasp more and more where God really wants us to be living. But that comes when I realize my identity and who I am and who I am in Christ. And because I am united with Christ, I have all of these spiritual blessings that are mine. In fact, I have every one of them because of my connection, because of my relationship. What an incredible gift that's been given to us. So Paul writes a letter of praise for all God has offered. So this is a letter of praise he's offering, and he's saying, here it is. First, he says, he loved us. He loved us. What an incredible gift that is ours as we realize that he loves us. Because the scripture says, even before he made the world, God loved us. Think about that. Even before He made the world. Like, I could stop right here, and you could go, wow. Hey, why don't you do that? Why don't you just go, wow, ready? See, isn't that amazing? Yeah, even before he made the world, he loved you. That means he had to know who you were even before you were born. He had a plan even before you were born. Like, not just like when it started, like even before the creation of the world. Wow. That's the kind of love that he has for us. Don't for a moment ever doubt that God loves you. He's loved you even before the world was created. He loves you that much. And you have to feel the impact of a God who loves us and cares for us that much. He chose us. You're no accident. I don't care how you came into this world. You are not an accident. I don't care if your parents didn't plan on you. God did. Because he loved you before the world was ever created. And he chose you before the world was ever created. Wow. Because that's the kind of God who loves you that much. It's amazing. It's like goes beyond my thinking, because even before he made the world, God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. So even before he made the world, he loved you. Even before he made the world, he chose you. You're not an accident. Whatever it is, your life has purpose and meaning. God, amen. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for what's going to happen in your life. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work through your life. And no matter what a mess you've made of your life, he still loves you, he's still chosen you, and he still has a plan for your life. Amen? He adopted us. Now, I don't know how many of you have been adopted that are a part, but I know there are quite a few. But I will say this, if you've been adopted, there was a plan and there was a desire. You were not an accident. Somebody wanted you so badly, and they wanted to have a child that they adopted you. What a privilege. My brothers used to always tell me I was adopted. They would say, your eyes are really squinty and slanty, and you're not really related to us. You've been adopted. And I can remember my mom saying at one point, there's something we need to tell you. And I went, I'm adopted. I knew it. I've been told this. They said, no, that's not it. But what a privilege it is if you have been. Because I can tell you this, God had a plan. He loved you before the world was created. He chose you before the world is created, and he's adopted you into his family. That is a wonderful privilege, because it says God decided in advance. He decided in advance. He didn't wait to see how you turned out. Maybe he'd have changed his mind. No. He already knew how you'd turn out. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Did you know that your very life gave God great pleasure? Wow. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to understand. But if you ever felt worthless in your life, that is the enemy. That is not God. God chose you, he loved you, he adopted you, and he decided this before you ever came into existence. So your life has purpose and meaning. Don't listen to anything else that the enemy would want to say. He purchased us by his very own blood. That's the good news of the gospel. That is the good news about your life, and it matters to God. In fact, as we look, he says he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Wow. I'm just overwhelmed by someone who could love us that much, could love me that much, and could care that much. Paul writes a letter identifying our blessings. And that's what he starts to write, and he wants to make sure that we see what our blessings are. The fact is, he showered us with kindness and grace. Did you deserve grace? No, because no one deserves grace. Grace is that undeserving favor of God that you get even though you don't deserve it. That's grace. And it said, he showered us with kindness. He showered us with grace. That's an awesome God that we serve. He has showered his kindness on us along with wisdom and understanding, and he just wants to shower. So don't sit back understanding what am I supposed to, or wondering what I'm supposed to do. He's already showered you with kindness and grace and wisdom and understanding. You just need to access it. You need to realize he revealed to us his will. It's God's will that all would come to repentance and that everyone would come into a relationship with him. That's the good news of the gospel. So if you're praying for somebody who does not know Christ, just remember that it's always God's will to save people. It's always his will, and he's going to work through that, and don't doubt that, because he says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. So does he have a plan for your life? Absolutely. Yes. And so he wants to work. He granted us an inheritance. He granted us an inheritance. You know, I may not have a lot on this earth, but I have a really big inheritance coming after this world. It's pretty awesome. And when we start thinking about that, the scripture says everything that Jesus has, I get. So when we get to heaven, we got great stuff waiting for us. It's good news. Woohoo is right. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen? That's the good news of the gospel. He identified us as his own. I am his. I belong to God, and he's happy. And you know, there are sometimes you're not so happy to identify somebody in your family. Have you ever had those moments? Oh my, that's my kids. I can remember one lady telling me that she was in a store and talking to the person who was taking care of who worked at the store. And the manager looked out and he saw something outside the window and he said, you know, kids are just really going downhill. She said, you know, he said, like they're smoking younger and younger. He said, yeah. He said, now look at that little boy out there. I think he was about 10. He was smoking, and she looked out and saw it was her son. He'd picked off something off the street and was, and she was like, running out and taking care of him. The fact is, I'm sure at that moment she was like, oh, that's my kid out there. I'm sure you've had those moments where you went, oh, that's my kid, or that's my father. I can't believe he's wearing that. You've been through all of those kinds of things, but let me tell you this. God doesn't do that. He identifies with you as his own, and he loves you, and he has a plan. And when you believed in Christ And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. My identity in Christ gives me a rich and full life. It gives me a rich and full life. One, would you read these with me? That's good, but I want you to really do it like you believe it. Like, that was pretty pitiful, to be honest with you. If this is a wow moment, could you just say it with a little more wow to your life? Ready? Amen. That's an incredible thing. Next. Ah, sounds much better. I think you believe it. Amen. Amen. And the scripture says the Spirit is God's guarantee. It's his guarantee. That's how much he believes in you. He gives you a guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this, why? So we would praise and glorify him, which means we still have space to go, right? Because it's not happening quite like it should. We need to be a little more energized about glorifying and praising him, because that's part of why he purchased us, so that we would do that. I wrote a prayer out of this first chapter of Ephesians, and I felt it would be great if we prayed it together. Let's stand together. And so if we could all pray this together as we offer this to God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that I am chosen by you. I thank you that I am adopted into your family. I thank you that I have been purchased by your blood. I thank you for showering me with kindness and grace. I thank you for revealing your will to me. I thank you for promising me an inheritance. I thank you that I am yours. I ask that you would give me spiritual wisdom and insight that I might grow in the knowledge of who you are. Let my heart be flooded with your light that I might have the confident hope you have given me. Let me remember the rich and glorious inheritance you have reserved for me. Help me to know the incredible greatness of your power, the resurrection power. Lord, you are above any ruler or authority in our world. You're greater than politics or all the influencers of our world. Nothing will come to me except through your hand, as you have placed all authority under Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for making the church the answer to the needs of our world, as you are the head and we are your body. Help me to find my place in this body that I might always be aware of your work through me. I am redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God has given you a great identity. Just walk in it. We've already prayed. May God bless you and go with you.